With the second quarter of the year well underway, can South Africa's growth trajectory improve? Sentiment indicators in the country have been depressed, but there is an improvement supporting stronger growth for 2024 compared to last year. But inflation remains stubborn and hopes of an interest rate cut soon are fading. So what does the rest of the year look like? What's going to drive growth for the next few months? Hello, I'm Jeremy Maggs. This is No Ordinary Wednesday. It's our in-depth look at what is driving markets, shaping the economy and changing the game. In this episode, I'm joined by Investec Chief Economist Annabel Bishop, who'll give us a macroeconomic update and help us understand what the next few months look like for both the global and the local economy, and where the opportunities are for economic growth. So, Annabel, we're starting the second quarter of the year, and a good place to start this conversation maybe is with GDP. The IMF has slightly revised its growth forecast to 0.9%. I'm wondering if anything has changed your outlook and what is driving your current projections right now. And welcome. Good to see you again.
Yes. Hi, Jeremy. Look, I think, you know, we find ourselves in a situation where economic growth is expected to come out around 1% this year. And, of course, that's near double of last year. Last year was 0.6%, as we know. While there's stronger growth expected for South Africa this year, and of course the global economy has proved particularly resilient, we must of course bear in mind that we continue to have some constraints on our economic activity. And of course that includes the electricity and freight crises, as well as of course crime and corruption. We know that the business-government collaboration is working to reduce these, and of course that's part of the reason why we do see stronger economic growth this year. We have a forecast of 1.1%. But I think it's particularly important to note the fact that while, you know, the IMF had 1% previously and they now have 0.9, it's not necessarily a downgrade so much as potentially just a small adjustment that typically does occur when you do modeling, econometric modeling and forecasts. It's very normal. It's not unusual. The IMF itself didn't make any mention of this downgrade. And of course, you know, really, when we are already at a weak economic growth rate of around 1%, half to 1%, you know, these tiny fractional changes suddenly become more amplified than if, for example, we were growing at a 3 or a 5% economic growth rate, in which case we wouldn't really pay so much attention, perhaps, from 5.1% to a 5% forecast.
That's the domestic side of things, Annabel, but I'm also assuming that there are international and exogenous factors that would be at least having some kind of marginal impact on what we're doing. We've spoken in the past in conversations about Ukraine. We've also got renewed and very dangerous tensions now in the Middle East. That has a global overhang, does it not?
Yes, of course. You know, these geopolitical tensions are of great concern. They haven't as yet fed through into much on the economic side. And of course, you know, we'd look at the oil price in the Middle East. We'd look at, you know, is there impact on global growth? But of course, you know, what we are really seeing is instead a very resilient global economy this year, which is in contrast to fears that were circling towards the end of last year and perhaps early this year of a global recession. Now, a resilient, strong, buoyant global economy is supportive for South Africa. It's supportive for economic growth. Of course, Jeremy, we don't know which way the Middle East situation is going to go. And of course, you know, if it does worsen and become a wider conflict throughout countries in the region, which is not currently expected, but if it does, of course, that raises particular risks on its own. But let's also talk about trade fragmentation. And of course, you know, what that really means is that we have seen some reduction in competitive trade globally, where there are also, of course, as well, concerns that countries might polarize. And of course, you know, you might see trade blocs forming. All of those are concerns to global growth. And of course, the opposite is really needed to spur faster economic growth globally and in South Africa.
Annabel Bishop, let's bring it back to South Africa if we can. And I want to look at two things. One is fixed investment in the country. There was a decline last year. But let's look at household finances, first of all. Tough time for consumers right now. We're not spending as much. That has an impact on the economy. That's the big pull down.
Yeah, you know, particularly household finances cover so many areas, whether it's the fact that interest rates have been high for a long time, or of course, you know, we have still got high inflation, even though it's on a declining trend. The latest print of CPI inflation at 5.6% talks to the fact that it puts pressure on household real incomes. And of course, as we know, that means incomes adjusted for inflation, the inflationary effect taken out. In fact, for last year and the year before, real incomes fell for households, which is part of the reason why we saw the weakness in the growth areas. So I think, you know, if we actually look at the year ahead, we do continue to expect to see a downward trend in inflation and, in fact, an interest rate cut potentially towards the end of this year. But nevertheless, we know overall households remain financially constrained. Of course, there is also the likelihood of the two-pot system from the retirement perspective coming in, which will aid households in terms of expenditure towards the fourth quarter of this year, allowing households to access more money from their pension pots. And of course, that obviously could boost consumer spending as well. But of course, household consumption expenditure accounts for 2/3 of GDP. It's a very important component. And we do find ourselves in a situation where high unemployment in a weak economy has not provided much support there either. If we turn to fixed investment, we obviously know that the private sector has become heavily involved in trying to work down the crises, as we mentioned earlier, in the electricity, freight, and of course, crime and corruption sectors. In fact, a number of committees have been established, and of course, South Africa is looking to exit the grey list in 2025 next year. That falls under the crime and corruption work being done, as well as, of course, reducing crime on the railway lines, which is key, and in general. These are positive steps. We also, of course, as well, have got the focus on the electricity sector and, of course, the freight area as well. Cheering, Jeremy, is that both the severity and the frequency of load shedding for the first quarter of this year is down substantially on a year ago. Compared to the last quarter of last year, it's a fairly similar outcome. But of course, we know that load shedding has come to an end, potentially temporarily, but nevertheless, you know, towards the end of March. And, you know, that obviously, if it persists over the second quarter, would have some assistance there as well.
As we're recording this conversation, Annabelle, I think we're on 21 days with no load shedding. So let's hold all the fingers that we've got in that respect. You've mentioned a number of things that are being done. So load shedding, we can put a tick next to. There is some degree of progress. Oh,
absolutely, there's progress.
Work being done on infrastructure, some valuable work being done on grey list, for instance. But there is more that we need to do to attract investment and accelerate growth. We're not doing enough yet, though, are we?
No, and of course, you know, that's why we still have a constrained economic growth outlook for this year. A 1% growth outlook is very weak. It's not a strong growth outlook. We need economic growth of 3 to 5% to really work down unemployment in South Africa substantially. But of course, we expect that next year we will see an even better outcome in terms of reducing the electricity and freight constraints in the economy. Already this year, we've obviously reduced the congestion at the port in Durban, as you know, and of course, other areas as well. We expect this work to continue over the next 5 years and in fact allow us to see economic growth rise above 2% towards 3% sustainably. So that certainly is the expected outlook. Of course, for foreign investors as well, they need to know that they have security in terms of their investment, whether it's just that they need electricity or, of course, returns on their investment, but also, of course, as well, political stability and the ability to operate well in our country. So all of those factors obviously point to potentially an improvement in business confidence over and investor sentiment over the longer term. But as we know, currently, those metrics are still depressed.
But so much riding on the May 29 poll and still so much uncertainty in that respect. And that's got to play in, surely.
No, that certainly does. And we believe that's not only working towards suppressing the rand, but also, of course, as well, having a risk premium in the bonds, South Africa government bonds. If you look at the benchmark 10-year bond, there might be around 60 basis points or so priced in because of that. The difficulty for the election is not so much that people are concerned necessarily in terms of what the precise outcome would be, but rather who government goes into coalition with. And of course, that's a big question.
Whichever way we look at it, the market like stability and certainty. We are going to continue this conversation in just a moment. I do want to remind you very quickly, a new episode of No Ordinary Wednesday drops every fortnight. Please don't miss it. It's very simple. All you need to do is to subscribe to Investec Focus Radio SA wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like the channel, of course you do, please take a moment to rate it. Annabelle, let's talk inflation and interest rates globally now. The latest U.S. inflation numbers coming in slightly higher than expected. That would obviously raise market concerns. The Fed meeting notes dimming any hopes of a rate cut. So what does this mean broadly then for the global rates cycle? And how does this play out into other major economies?
You know, we're finding that there is a stickiness in inflation globally, and of course in South Africa as well. We talked how recently inflation's ticked up from 5.1 to 5.3 in January, then to 5.6 in South Africa. And of course, some of the reasons for this is higher fuel prices. We've seen a jump in the oil price this year, both because of expectations that global demand could be stronger than was previously thought, but also, of course, as well, concerns around supply. So if we look at the outlook for the FOMC in terms of market expectations for interest rates, we can see that the clustering of expectations of a cut in the first quarter has really moved out towards the second quarter and then into the third quarter. And I think, you know, that's the story here, that there's a delay in interest rate cut expectations, the start of the US interest rate cutting cycle, as inflation has proved quite difficult to get down. And it's the stubborn nature of inflation in the United States, which has led to its monetary policy authorities, the FOMC, highlighting quite significantly they're not in any rush to cut interest rates. Of course, that's been negative for the rand in South Africa. Emerging market currencies do tend to strengthen when the United States goes into an interest rate cut cycle. And of course, for South Africa, that would then mean that the rand would see substantial strength as well. If the interest rate cut cycle in the United States had started off in the first quarter of this year, the rand may well be closer to 17, if not moving towards 16 to the US dollar. Such has been the substantial moves of the past. Of course, as we delay the interest rate cut cycle in the United States, the rand has obviously seen cause for weakness and disappointment as well. The domestic currency obviously is expected to remain volatile, but if you look at the interest rate cycle globally, the ECB has said that they're looking to potentially cut interest rates by June, so earlier than the United States. They said they're not Fed dependent. And for South Africa, we remain very concerned about our inflation rate. The governor of the South African Reserve Bank has said that they're looking for CPI inflation not only to reach 4.5%, but be expected to stay there sustainably as well before they cut interest rates. Of course, with the damage that extreme weather conditions, heat, has done earlier this year, and of course as well we talked about the oil price, that obviously has placed some upward risk for inflation, and in turn South Africa is now likely to see either an interest rate cut only in September or potentially November this year. So such has been the delay or the move out in the timing of rate cuts.
Annabel, specifically, where are the local inflationary pressures coming from?
So if we look at South Africa's CPI inflation, if we really, you know, dig it out, we can see that often administered prices are running well above the 4.5% mark. Those are electricity price increases, increases in water tariffs, of course, as well, rates and taxes. Even, you know, the petrol and diesel price is seen as a state-administered price, as you know, and that comes from both high international oil prices, but also, of course, as well, when there's some rand weakness. So any CPI inflation figure component that runs above the 4.5% mark really adds to inflation pressure. For the petrol price and diesel prices, they get adjusted in the first week of every month, and of course, that feeds directly into that month's inflation effect as well. Also, for agricultural food prices, South Africa is a price taker, and of course, that means we either have import or export parity pricing with global agricultural food products, and of course, that then as a consequence means that if there's a lift in global agricultural food prices, that then also feeds through into South Africa, along with whatever exchange rate movements have occurred. So overall, you can see there are quite a few risks to the upside for inflation in South Africa. We do know that demand side pressures are quite suppressed, but certainly to answer your question, it's really coming through on the supply side.
And how does all of this have an impact on the bond market?
For South Africa's bond market, of course, we did see some disappointment come through, not just from the medium-term budget policy last year, but also, of course, as well, the budget this year in comparison to the budget in 2023. In other words, borrowing was planned lower last year in February than it was planned now, this year in February, despite coming down from the projections in the MTBPS. So overall, if you increase supply in the bond market, obviously that has a negative impact on yields. And of course, as well, if inflation expectations rise, as they have done, that also has a negative impact on yields as well. So South Africa's inflation, CPI inflation, is expected to come out higher this year than it was previously. So too, the delay in the interest rate cut cycle also feeds into these concerns as well. Of course, one of the key factors, Jeremy, is that we've seen substantial foreign disinvestment from South Africa's bond market, and certainly volatility. Sometimes you do see buying. Also, of course, disinvestment from equities as well. Its foreigners remain concerned. But let's talk back to when we were talking about the United States interest rate cycle. When you go into a cut or a hike cycle, of course, then that also has an impact on global financial market risk sentiment. And of course, delaying the US interest rate cut cycle, We, of course, recently saw some retail sales data come out of the United States showing a very robust economy, which adds to these concerns. That really places you in a sort of neutral to risk-off environment that, in other words, is not supportive for foreign buying of emerging market portfolio assets. And, of course, that's what South Africa's bonds and equities do fall into, the portfolio asset category. So, of course, when you do have this lack of strong risk-taking, it also reflects as well in South Africa's bond market from an international investor perspective.
And let's finish with this, Annabelle. As you've mentioned, most major economies are starting to show some sign of improved growth. Are we taking advantage sufficiently of this recovery?
Well, Jeremy, interestingly, you know, we saw the Chinese data for the first quarter come out very recently now. And of course, that shows a lift above 5% for China in line with its goals. Interestingly, industrial production, which we know makes up mining, manufacturing, electricity, above 6% for China's first quarter. And of course, these are both year-on-year measurements, as manufacturing and investment has really pushed up growth in China. So that's a positive for South Africa, given its reliance on China as a key trading partner, just as obviously Europe is also a key trading partner for South Africa. Concern, of course, comes out, can we put the goods out the country? Can we get them through the ports, along the rails, and even produce them with sufficient electricity? So that still remains a concern. We haven't reached our full potential from that perspective, but nevertheless, the buoyancy of the global economy and the fact that it's expected to see an improvement, with the IMF now looking at global growth this year of above 3%, points to a very positive and supportive picture for South Africa if we continue to gain substantial traction on our government and, of course, business collaboration in those three key areas of resolving the electricity, crime, corruption, and freight crises, which we expect we will continue to do. And, of course, that then talks to a better outlook for South Africa.
And that's where we're going to put a punctuation point. Annabelle Bishop, thank you very much for joining us on this edition of No Ordinary Wednesday. Please join us again in a fortnight as we continue to explore money trends shaping your world. If you haven't yet added us to your podcast feed, search for Investec Focus Radio SA wherever you get your podcasts. Hit the subscribe button. And to get more insights from Investec, sign up to the fortnightly Focus newsletter at investec.com/newsletter. Until next time, goodbye from me, Jeremy Maggs, and the entire Focus Radio team.
The views expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm and should not be taken as advice or recommendations. Investec Limited and subsidiaries, authorized financial service providers, registered credit providers, and long-term insurer.